by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon decaying every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
Tornos that are over on The Ooze. Spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Hey everybody, and welcome to The Ooze. This is Orgasmic Chromatic, and I have Wicked Puppy with me right now. I'm not sure where the other two are, but whatever, the show must go on. This is the first edition of the Occupied Edition of The Ooze and the first regular spot of the 10 o'clock area.
I call bullshit. Last episode was the first one.
Okay, well, last official, whatever you want to call
when
it.
When I took over, because I'm taking over. That's what this occupation is. That's me. I've taken control. And I'm going to turn this into whatever the fuck I want it to.
I don't give a shit as long as I get to eat my pizza. So, you just let me know if either one of the other co-hosts decide to show up tonight. If not, it does not matter, I suppose, considering...
I think they just did.
I was going to say, considering, you know, about an hour and a half of last week's two-hour show... You spent rambling and ranting and raving, so I think you could pretty much, you know, rant at a wall for an hour without any of us. And I think I hear Rotten. Is that Rotten?
I'm so sorry about last week. I was exceptionally intoxicated. Yeah.
When the fuck aren't you exceptionally intoxicated, man? I mean, every time I've seen you live, right, like on chat or anything lately, you're drunk.
Yeah, see?
Well,
there's
I'm,
that rant
well,
again.
I'm about to wipe the whole sobriety thing out in a second. Don't worry about it.
Did female Satan show up yet?
There is another caller on the line. 585-318.
No,
615-586.
615, that is female Satan.
We hope.
Or a troll. Are you a troll?
That is not a troll.
No, I'm not a whore. That's what the bridge is. No.
I've seen
way,
female Satan's number enough
was
times.
Awesome last week. I have to say that. I really enjoyed that.
Last week was the
okay,
shit.
Well, this week, what happened is there was an argument online with Lexi and somebody else she knows, and it was some dude in the military bitching about how hard his life is, then yelling at other people who were upset about how hard their lives were. Because they're not in the military. And it started this long-ass argument, ending with the same fucking thing that always comes up when you're arguing with somebody in the military, is we're out there protecting your freedom. And I still have not seen or heard any reason how, or like, just legitimize it. I want somebody to come on the air and legitimize that statement. That's all I
want.
I want
someone to come on the air and not be a pretentious prick who is from the military. See,
I didn't
what's happening here? What happened
let
here that. Is the past week or so, I've been yelled at, if you want to call it that, by a couple different people, old friends of mine, old coworkers of mine, both in the military, both downplaying the occupation, you know, of Occupy, and both just very pretentious about their position in the military.
Is
and
it wrong to tell them?
Frustrating with me.
Is it wrong to tell them to stick their stripes up their ass? Just checking.
No, my response to the first person that I got into an argument with, he said, these people who are occupying our cities need to stop bitching and get a life. And my response to this, of course, being extremely offended, I said, I have two kids. Well, yeah. I have 2 kids, 3 jobs. All right. I'm going back to school in the winter. How much of a life do you want me to have? Like,
yeah,
I need more? Do I need more to qualify as getting a life under, you know, your standards? Is that okay?
Is it really hard to accept that the vast majority of the people that are taking part of the Occupy movement and who support the Occupy movement are the hardworking Americans, are the people of lives, are the ones who've been busting their asses all their life to get nothing in return? Why is that so hard to see?
Oh, well, you know, I think with the military, I'm a little surprised, actually, because it seems to me like the military would probably actually, in a way, support this action, because if you look at the statistics, they're against the, you know, by just, like, polls of what they actually like or interested in, you know, policy-wise and stuff. They don't really like what's going on and haven't for a while, so I'm kind of surprised that the reaction is, everybody needs to get a life, blah, blah, blah. You must, I think, be out there, too. I mean, if you're willing to defend your country and potentially sacrifice your life for it, aren't you also going to protest when it's when you're defending something that's corrupt or has gone wrong? I think I will.
Another comment that was made that really offended me that I didn't even bother answering was, these people who are occupying our cities need to occupy a job. And that, to me, is just a gross, this is a stupid thing to say. But the argument that was sparred today was because he had jumped on one of his friends for posting a status saying, geez, this is a really long week. You know how you have everyone has long-ass days, or they feel long-ass days or long-ass weeks. I know I worked every single day almost every single day for the past 3 weeks straight, okay? So tomorrow is my first day off in a while, and I feel like it's been a really long fucking month. I think I have every fucking right to say that. But he was coming down on this person, saying, well, you're not in the military, and thanks for reminding me how much my life sucks because I have to be at work today and I have to go to post tomorrow. And I said, you know what? Fuck you. You signed up for it. You knew you weren't going to get weekends off. You knew what you were getting into. Don't throw a fucking pity party about it. Just fucking do your damn job, just like everybody else has to.
Well, at the same time, the recruiters do tend to bend the truth about what some of the military is actually going to experience. You know, if you look at it from that perspective, I mean,
well, you know, that's what I put it down.
Recruiters tell time, oh, you're not going to Iraq, you know.
My recruiter straight up told me she would not guarantee me shit. She said, you will probably go overseas. You'll probably be fighting. I looked at her and I walked out.
And you know what? I have nothing against the military. I really don't. They sign up for a job, and they should do their job efficiently and effectively.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the ones who make the laws or decisions to go over to where they are.
No, they're
but
not.
But I cannot
well,
stand
maybe
by.
Not, but I sat there, and I got my ass chewed out because one of his other friends jumped on it and said, well, my husband joined the military because he didn't have a choice. We had a son on the way, and we needed the money, and he couldn't find a job. I said, that's fine. All right.
And
but
I call bullshit on that, too.
Right. But he still made the choice to join the military to do it. He's taking care of his kid. And she said, well, if he would have not done it, then he would have left him without any provisions. And she goes, I suppose you would call him a shitbag if he hadn't joined the military to support his kid. And I go, now you're just assuming shit about my character. All right, at this point, you're just assuming that if I really, truly believe that was just a ridiculous concept to me. And this all happened in, like, the hour break that I had.
Lexi, you actually bring up something interesting. People who are joining the military is the last option to get paid, not join the military.
Well, no, because people who join the military for monetary reasons, generally really, really hate the military, and they don't, because they didn't join for the right reasons. And this is something I tried to explain to a friend of mine who actually just went off to boot camp about 3 weeks ago. He joined for the military because he said he couldn't find a job. I called this bluff, because there is no way that if you didn't put any fucking effort in, you wouldn't find a job. Trust me, I've been hired at 2 different places in the past 2 weeks, all right?
Ford, the argument isn't the issue at hand. The issue at hand is the general overall ignorance of people and their unwillingness to actually look at the situation, including members in the military. Well,
most
at this point,
people...
you think that military should be supporting this, and they are. If you look at the pictures from Occupy Wall Street, there are veterans down there in full uniform holding up signs, Veterans Against the War. There are pictures of people who served in the military for most of their life going, what's happening now is fucked up and wrong. And these are the people we fought for, and they're saying that it's fucked up and wrong, and they're being ignored.
It's easier to ignore something.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's going to happen, is that, you know, right now it's either ignore or overplay. I was watching CNN the other day and saw, like, a 10-minute piece on the hand signals that the people on in the Occupy movement are using to communicate with each other. Did any of y'all see that?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that like on Occupy Wall Street, due to the size of the crowd, they've created their own hand gestures to communicate with each other. You know, like, let's move over here, let's stop, you know, like they've got all these hand gestures. And what's funny, though, is that CNN was jokingly drawing the correlation between the signs used, the hand signals used on Wall Street and what they were doing, which I thought was just kind of... I actually thought it was kind of a subtle, nasty dig sort of against the whole thing. Like, you know, to kind of, they turned around and tied it into that. And we're like showing...
Well, the media has been digging at it the whole time. That's not unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pup Man.
Yeah.
Pup, they created a new Android application called A Help I'm Being Arrested just for the people on the Occupy Wall Street. You put in all your information. It sends out text messages to your, like, family and contacts that you're being arrested.
Nice. That's brilliant. Did you guys hear about the member of the National League of... the National League of Attorneys got ran over by New York City police on one of those motorbikes and arrested.
Wait, what?
Yes. New York City police ran over one... Yeah, he was down there monitoring the occupation in case somebody pulled some shit like that. And, of course, the cop hit him. There's video of it, of him running the guy over. Granted, it's not severe. It's like one of those little, like, it's like a police Vespa scooter. But the fact of the matter is, the cop still ran him over, then arrested him. This is what's still going on. They won. Oh, my God, dude, they beat the city. The city was going evict them this morning. The city backed down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and didn't they almost, we have two of them going on up here in New York. One of them was Occupy Buffalo, the other was Occupy Rochester. The one in Buffalo has been disbanded by the cops because they pitched tents. So they basically told them to all get the fuck out and go home, which they, of course, had to. Rochester, I think, is starting up maybe another week.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Now we have Occupy Nashville, which is 3 people.
Yes, they found 3 sober people in all of Nashville.
Yes.
Why doesn't that surprise me about Nashville?
Yeah. Well, no. It gets better. They were interviewing them on the news, and it was so funny because the people were saying they're done at 5:00 every night. So they just go home at night and go to bed and then get up and go out to the gym.
Oh, I have a question. Real quick. This goes back to what started the show. Can anybody legitimize the statement? We're out there fighting for your freedom. I want to know how. Mm-hmm. I want some exact, like, reasons. Like, how are you protecting our freedom by invading other countries? What the fuck are these countries actually doing? Or what were they even saying?
Okay, there is actually I do know a little bit about this. basically, the whole idea, and this is actually why America invaded Vietnam, is that if there's more countries that are communist or socialist or something else than democracies, that they could join up basically and topple America. So we tend to actually invade countries that could actually team up with other countries and take us.
There's a problem with that because we leave China alone. In fact, we outsource our factories to China.
Oh yeah, but we're in bed with China. We can't fuck with China. You know,
we're in bed with half the world. Like, I mean, we're fucking America.
Yeah.
They ship all their shit here, so we can buy it.
Oh yeah, no. America's become, you know, well, you know, also with the deficit. I mean, we borrow that money from other countries. Yeah, America's become a bit of a whore as time's gone on. You know, it's almost, yeah, you know, when you find out, like, just what we've done behind closed doors, it's fairly horrifying to know that, you know, basically at the end of the day, America's, you know, fucked if everybody decides to cash in, so to speak. It would be pretty well over pretty quickly.
See, like, but that's what it is. I think all the evidence points to our military is now working for plutocracy.
Mm-hmm.
We help fuck up Gaddafi. Days after, he announced to the Muslim and African world to switch to the gold denier instead of accept U.S. dollars. We went into Iraq a week after Saddam Hussein had announced that he was no longer going to accept U.S. dollars for oil.
Nice.
Yep.
What the fuck are we exactly fighting for? We killed bin Laden. Get the fuck out of there. Quit blowing up buildings. If we want to help those people, fucking leave them alone. If they want freedom, they need to earn it like our forefathers in America did. And I don't mean by fucking throwing some tea off a boat. I mean fucking fighting for it. If you want it, you're going to go get it. We can sell the weapons.
Oh, no, I
have no problem with that.
I agree.
But get our people out of there.
I agree. Yeah, well, and the whole fighting for freedom, you know, idea, that's something that the military puts out. It's like, if you're joining, basically, they sort of sell you this idea of you're fighting for the American dream. You're fighting to preserve freedom. So a lot of times...
But there is no American dream anymore.
Well, no.
The American dream has been
that
squashed. That you can't pursue happiness. You have to pursue money. It's a necessity. It is no longer a choice or an option. It is no longer, you don't, I'm frustrated.
Well, it is frustrating when you realize that, you know, that it's, that hasn't been around for a long time, and no royal family, you know, has, but at the same time, they do all try to shoot for it in some sense, you know, like, you know, you hear everybody wants, you know, the house with the people with five kids and picket fence and all this stuff. It's become like this.
So that's remnants from 1950s America, though. And we all know how 1950s America's turned out with churches fucking popping up everywhere, the fear of communism,
blacklisting people
because they were interested in communism. I mean, that's bullshit to begin with. And the fact that mentality still remains needs to be eradicated.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I
need to stop fearing our own
citizens. I would say that America saying that you were either a socialist or a communist would almost be a more ostracizing statement than saying you're a Satanist. Point blank. You know. Because most people start to be like, oh, you're a crazy white person, but yeah, say you're a socialist or a communist and you're gonna get a whole lot of
it's worth saying that you're a terrorist.
Yep.
During Occupation Onslaught, I did call myself a terrorist.
Bad girl.
Psychological warfare, man. But no, since there's nobody in the military online who wanted to come up here and try to justify or legitimize that statement for us, I said we just call it as bullshit for what it is. Because that's what it is. It's bullshit. It's a platitude that people keep spouting off. It's now a model to hide behind when you don't know what the fuck you're fighting for anymore. Because you don't.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I'm glad that some of our military is woken up. Sorry.
I can see America when it first started definitely being something worth fighting for. You know, the concepts of the country were founded on are good. The implementation has just been poor and has gotten worse as time's gone on, you know.
Oh, no, I love the Constitution. I love the Bill of Rights. Those things are amazing documents that have been ignored since after World War II.
But they also are extremely fucking old, and they need to be revised.
That's
I don't
sacrilege.
Think they do.
How
I think we need to go back to them.
I'm sorry, but there needs to be some kind of stupid layman's fucking terms when it comes to the Constitution. So there is no way anybody can sit there and tell me that the Second Amendment doesn't mean what I think the Second Amendment means. It needs to be in plain English. We have evolved, and people like to twist words. You can't twist words when they're put down in plain English.
That's the issue. That's the argument, though. That's the argument they've been using to squash the Second Amendment and things like it, mm-hmm. is we have evolved as a country. You don't need your gun.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I like my gun.
Exactly.
Go back to the Second Amendment and you fucking hug it.
You tell it you love it.
You
not only need your gun, it's your right to have a gun in this country, and they want to take that away because you have to think, though, a group of armed citizens is a whole lot scarier deal for the government to deal with than a group of unarmed citizens that can't protect themselves.
Exactly.
Well, the build-up is that we don't need to protect ourselves because there's police and military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who are they going to fight for if things go sideways?
Obviously, they're going to fight for whoever pays more. Look at the $4.5 million donated to the New York Police Department before the occupation began.
Mm-hmm.
Look
JP Morgan Chase.
Look at the private security companies and the weapons manufacturers who are lobbying every day billions to keep the soldiers outfitted and weaponized and fucking battle ready. Look at the corporations who have stakes in natural resources in other countries where we keep sending out fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plutocracy.
You know, this whole war thing would have been a lot simpler if we just bombed them, stole the oil, and been done with it. But no.
We don't want to steal the oil.
Why not?
I don't think that's the goal.
What's the goal then?
They create a system over there that is obedient to the system over here. Doesn't matter what that system is. We work with dictators on a regular basis. Are you kidding me? We're not trying to install democracy. We want somebody who's going to bend over for us, who's not going to install corporate taxes so corporations can outsource over there, who's not going to install taxes on their natural resources so that we can get them cheaply and quickly. It's like NATO has control of the military, or NAFTA and the WTO, which they do because they control the wealth, and apparently wealth is merit.
See, that brings up another point you wanted to make this show about if someone has more money that they are better than someone else, I believe it was, something along those lines, correct?
That was the other point, yes, and I was leading up to that, man. I want somebody to come on here and explain to me how wealth is a direct measure of somebody's worth as a person.
It's not, it can't be.
Now, I'm not talking some Randian idealist. I've read Rand. I love Rand. I actually agree with Ayn Rand. I agree with almost everything that woman says. But what she says does not match the reality of the people pumping her fucking book and holding rallies. They're not Rand. They seem to miss the entire fucking point and use it as a scapegoat and a fallback for, like, well, we shouldn't do it. And I'm like, hey, you're a dick. And you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Did you mention the signs that the bankers were putting up in the windows?
Oh, yeah. Did everybody see that picture? One of the banks threw up signs in the windows that say, "We are the 1%.
Nice.
If anybody's in the chat room, I uploaded a chart that I found on a article. The article is nothing but charts that shows exactly what has been happening for the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. Is anybody else aware that adjusted for inflation, the average hourly wage of a worker has not increased in, I think it's been 50 years.
Jeez.
Adjusted for inflation, we haven't gained anything. The people that actually work and do the things and keep the country running have gained shit. While the CEOs have had a 300% pay increase in the past few years.
What it was, that was like they make 364 times more than the average hourly person working the person working an hourly wage.
And I wager that they don't have a fucking skill to their name other than manipulating numbers.
Just think about that. 364 fucking percent or times more.
This is success in America right now. This is success. It's not how hard you can work. It's not how good of a job you can do. It's not even being happy and being able to achieve that stability in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to manipulate numbers well enough to become unaccountable and do whatever the fuck you want.
Which anybody
hardly,
can
like,
do it, though.
No, you can't. The chance of there's actually a chart for that, too. I'll link you the article in a little bit. The ability of the average person to get into the top 1% has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all our college grads right now who can't find a job. There's no opportunities. You can't fucking do anything. The whole thing is on lockdown because it's designed to be on lockdown. They want it on lockdown.
And, you know, it used to be where you could get something and actually get promoted and move up in the world. Now it seems like, you know, that aspect of increasing your livelihood is, you know, disappeared, you know, in a lot of different industries out there. You know, I mean, you know, the U.S. used to be full of factories. I mean, that factory work sucks, but it paid well, you know, and you get promoted and you could do well, you know. And that really doesn't exist anymore. You know, there's a lot of options that have been taken away from people that don't have those degrees and don't possess those abilities. I think that people that are not college educated at this point are, you know, not college educated, almost universally equals poverty today in America. When it didn't used to, you know, it could equal middle class if you worked your ass off, basically.
And it's funny, something I was actually always told growing up was you can't dig a ditch without having a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting to the point where you can't even dig a ditch without having an engineering degree.
Oh, yeah.
But also, see, the real reason why most companies more than likely do not want to promote anyone, number one, they have to pay more to that particular individual.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that takes money out of the corporate pocket to have more managers or more staff in a business. What every CEO wants is a nice little payday at the end of the year, something to show their stockholders, hey, we went up. Stockholders don't give a damn why they went up or how they went up. All the stockholders care about is their stocks are going up, I'm making a little more cash. Never mind that little pissant worker just got canned because he didn't meet his quota for that day. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
see,
yeah.
They don't, that's not exactly the part I have a problem with. Increase efficiency. Be progressive about your efficiency. Be ingenuitive. That's going to cost jobs, but it can also create jobs. And we've done everything in our power to not do that. Look at the Green Move initiative by Obama. We've been stuck in the same type of fucking vehicle. Our cars haven't changed. And since they were fucking made, we're still using the same type of engines. We haven't looked into new solutions. Nobody's interested in new solutions. Every time somebody is, they're either bought out by a corporation and the entire thing is shut down, or they're smashed. That's the problem. That's why these are not the noble industrialists that Ayn Rand talks about. Because these people, there's no pride. There's no honor.
No. Mm-mm.
And, Pop, it was actually on TED. In fact, this guy over in California, researcher, he had come up with a way for clean energy. Pretty damn near impressive, to say the least, but it was salt water. And the device that you used for it could power, I think it was either a house or a town. I can't remember exactly which. But the thing was about the size of a pipe bomb. That was the size. The size of a pipe bomb could do your whole fucking house. All required was salt water. That was it.
There's a guy in Arizona who figured out how to make houses out of garbage. I don't know if anybody's ever seen anything that...
say garbage?
Well,
you're talking about the Earth
ship. Actual garbage. Yeah.
The Earth ship. Those things are fucking brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, he knows how to make bricks out of plastic bottles. I watched a thing, a two-hour documentary on him one time, and the thing that killed me was not that, that's the thing, his houses weren't bad. They didn't need central heat and air. They were pretty much self-sufficient. They didn't need, you know, the electrical grid, really, and they didn't need water. He had figured all that out. They were oddly shaped, more like a dome, and they actually had a water reservoir sort of put underneath the house, which helps cool it. Which is genius,
yep.
Right? I mean, yeah, the guy's a genius. He could not get a building permit to save his life. I mean, they condemned, he built some houses. They wound up condemning them due to the fact that he wasn't using what they considered construction materials.
Yeah, it was structurally sound.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we're thinking the same thing. I mean, that makes me think, like, they're called Earth ships. And what they are is they're buildings created entirely out of recycled materials and dirt. They're beautiful.
Yep.
They're self-sustaining. The plans to build them is about $5,000.
Yeah.
And you can
no
build
shit.
One just about anywhere. It doesn't cost shit to make one because you're using all recycled materials. They built with their own water filtration system. You grow your own plants. And you don't really need electricity because it's built to harness the sun. These things are fucking brilliant ideas. And there's small communities of them. They're further down south than Michigan because I'm not sure how one of those would hold up to the snow we get. But as soon as I saw that, like, a few years ago, I thought, where the fuck are all these? Those are goddamn brilliant.
Yeah.
Hell, they have the ones that are made out of dirt and dung.
Not only is it brilliant, but, I mean, it's a solution in a way to so many problems. I mean, you know, you hear, you know, there's not enough trees, or, you know, like, we're cutting down too many forests. Dude, these people make bricks out of plastic bottles, you know. Oh, we have too much garbage. Wait a minute, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my perspective. I was like, that wall was made out of recycled tires. Why do we have the issues we have? You know?
Hey, guys, I got another caller on the air. He's been on hold for 2 minutes. I'm not sure who it is. It's 696. I apologize for not noticing you. I'm going to put you on right now.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
5-1. Hey, what's going on? Hey.
Hello.
Are you going to come argue with us?
Hey, yeah. What's that?
Are you going to come argue against us?
No, I'm not going to argue against you guys, other than some of the stuff you're talking about. Some of the stuff you guys are talking about, you mentioned, I think, the solution. I don't know who it was that said it, but when I tuned in, you're talking about show me the amount of wealth that determines a person's value. And I think that whatever you're talking about, you're talking about other options. You're talking about alternative engines for vehicles. You're talking about alternative means for, you know, the Earth ships and things like that. It comes to a point where if enough of us get fed up to the point where we turn our back on the financial system, because just like you were saying about these industrialists, they aren't interested in creating new innovation. They aren't interested in the betterment of mankind, the betterment of their fellow man. What they're interested in is their profit and power. Rand's industrialists weren't purely interested in profit. They were interested in the best possible product, the best possible innovation, and eventually making everybody's lives better. So it just comes to a point where, you know what, fuck even having the $5,000 to get an Earth ship, just turn your back. And right now the consequences for doing so are severe. If you elect to turn your back on the system, if you're elect to give up on, you know, housing, the whole thing, just walk away from money and everything else, but it's the only solution that is left to us. Everything else has been bought and given a trademark.
Yes. It cannot be understated the importance of a single individual just turning their back, doing something else, looking for the alternatives, making the alternatives, being the alternative to what's fucked up and what's been destroying us, what's being fed every fucking day. This is why our fucking economy fails. Not because we have all the money, because we don't. The top 1% have all the money, and I don't really have a problem with the top 1% having the money. What I have a problem is the fucking control they have over us.
Right. It's not it's not a matter even to getting the money. The money shouldn't be what your goal is. You shouldn't be after the money. You should just be after the freedom to see to your basic needs, regardless of whether you want to use money or not. Try feeding yourself from what you find out in nature. There's plenty of food outside your front step. But if you eat it, and if you feed it to your kids especially, if you eat it, it's one thing. But if you feed it to your kids, it's child abuse. Try going out and building your own structure, living your own shelter. I think there was that Female Satan that's on the line on the show?
Yeah, she's here.
Okay, like she said about that dude who went out and built his own structure, and they condemned the structure for not being what they considered building materials. That's how we get fucked. And it comes to a point where you just turn your back on the whole fucking thing. Fuck their laws, fuck their money, fuck their way of doing things, and just taking that risk and doing it yourself. And when you have enough examples, enough successful examples of that kind of will, total freedom and total rejection of what they're doing, that's when you're going to start seeing some things happen. That's when people are really going to start to wake up. And I don't want to monopolize your whole fucking show. I'll get off the line here. But, yeah, that was pretty much my point.
Jason, I totally agree with you, is that there needs to come up with plausible solutions to actually pull out of the system. And if enough people do it and show the example, that would actually ultimately collapse it. I don't know if, you hear a lot of times about people attacking it. And I think, in a way, the best way to truly attack it is to disconnect well, and then get enough people to realize that it's possible, start a movement. I really think that's the only way that ultimately, what's going on can be stopped.
Well, there's only one point there that I would disagree with. And the one point I would disagree with there is that we can't wait for they to do it. We can't wait for them to take those steps. If it's up to each and every one of us, if we're serious about it, if we're seriously sick of the shit, then we have a responsibility to ourselves to do it for ourselves. And if our example works and we're successful, then other people might follow. So, and what we got going on here in the news, I think, is a group of people who are starting to reach that point, who are starting to go, I don't fucking care what happens. I'm going to start doing this on my own. I'm turning my back. And we're starting to collaborate and share ideas. But, yeah, we can't wait for somebody else to do it. We got to do it.
Oh, no, I agree with you, and I shouldn't have said that, because I'm actually going through my own plans to actually disconnect from the system. Why did I do that? Anyways, I agree with you. It needs to be talked about, and it needs to be done by people, and, show people that it's possible, And, there's a lot of people that are doing it. I know that's what y'all are doing on Outbreak right now, is the Take Action series.
Right, and there's a comment in the chat room, Matera just said that you'd have to live on the run. I'd prefer to live on the run and be free as fucking possible than be secure in my slavery. So
yeah.
I'm going to get off the phone, man. I don't want to monopolize you guys' show, but a good show. I'm just going to tune in, all right? I'll catch you later.
What's up, Jason? Thank you, man.
The biggest issue
when you grow
of this
something...
is... Sorry, man. The biggest issue with a lot of this is the fact that people at the base level are cattle. They do not wish to give up creature comforts to actually revert down to a basic style of living. That
See, I don't think we
what...
need to go that far. I don't think going straight down to caveman living.
No, I'm not
solution.
Saying caveman fucking living, man. Jesus Christ.
No, it doesn't
have
to be caveman living. I mean, there's alternatives out there. I mean, the Earthship stuff, there's the whole movement of nomads that are living in RVs, which is actually what I'm looking into, which can technically be done perfectly legally, but your home is on wheels. You're never in the same place twice.
Well, okay.
and
you say give up creature comforts. That just brings, let's all go live in a fucking cave. And I'm like, I'm not happy getting that.
Yeah, but...
No,
some days I am,
If you take me, for example, if I go from living in the suburbs in a three-bedroom house to living in an RV, I gave up a lot of creature comfort to get there. I just got done with this. I had 64 pairs of shoes. 64.
Nice woman.
Yeah.
How many of them were
American-made?
None.
Not
yeah,
many. But, it's those kind of things. That is being comfortable and,
enjoying yourself, and I acquire it cheaply, but still, that's outrageous. Yeah, you know, I mean, we just moved out of our house, and I mean, going through my stuff, my biggest realization was that I had the most stuff, and it's ridiculous. You know, like, I actually added up all the numbers. I was like, it's enough for, like, 20 women. What am I doing?
Also, you notice that a lot of the predominant gender roles also play a part in that as well. Women are expected to be more opulent. They're meant to have more surroundings that are more, basically just more. They're meant to have things that are more sophisticated, that are more womanly. You know, the house, the cars, shoes, clothes. They are supposed to.
Oh yeah,
They are bred to live in a lavish lifestyle. That's the main issue.
I don't think that's
all
impossible
gender role,
in a sustainable culture. I don't think that is impossible in a sustainable, honorable, prideful culture. I think that is severely possible. But nobody's willing to take that chance. Nobody's willing to go the step to make it possible because there's no profit in it. Well, there's profit in it, just not as much as they're going to make now.
Yeah.
Profit is always the bottom line.
And
the bottom line.
But, I mean, you do have to give stuff up if you're actually going to pull out. I mean, you know, and there are legal ways too. And I mean, you know, but I mean, eventually, you know, I mean, like, if the state goes to ID cards, for example, the Nomad movement would pretty much be screwed because these people don't have a permanent address, you know, and not having a permanent address can really affect you. I mean, that's actually what I'm working out now is like, you know, how do you school your children? You know, so the cops don't, you know, take your kids away when they find you. And, you know, how do you qualify for homeschooling? What does it take? You know, like those kind of things. I mean, and it can be done. It's just really, really difficult to do.
The only There's only one way there could be any possible legal recourse of your plan, the fact of your children's education. That is pretty much the only legal recourse, depending on which county you're in and state. That is where the cops can get you. Beyond that, you're pretty much fine.
Yeah. I mean, they can put parents, I mean, you know, they have all those truancy laws. And, I mean, yeah. Like, let's say you qualified in one state for homeschooling, and then you're in another state when you get pulled over.
Yep.
And their laws are different. Yeah, like, that's the kind of stuff that, like, I have to know in order to, you know, do this effectively because, you know, it's, you know, I have small children and I don't want them being raised and you know, with the way society is, I don't want them to be raised in that society as much as possible. I know there's an alternative, there has to be, but the legalities of it are actually really, really complicated. I mean, like, I've had all kinds of stuff, like, We wanted to do it immediately. We're going to have to wait, like, for example, because, you know, they're basically, and that's just a logical thing, too. A three-year-old probably can't handle that, whereas a five-year-old probably says more feasibly. You know, so, yeah. No,
well, if you're planning to educate your children on your own outside of the failed system that is America's education system right now, you might want to head north. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to need to teach them by the Bible. Just putting that out there.
Well, being really, really, really dead serious about it, religious exemption is one of the most ironclad ways to go through homeschooling for your children. Out of anything that you can
do it up.
Religious exemption is pretty much the one where most kids are going to go, oh, yeah, well, okay, you're crazy religious people. So, yeah, no, I've been looking into that. And, yeah, no, it can be done through that. But that means that, you know, yeah, you've got to get into some really strange waters or invent your own religion and have it legally
recognized. FS, all you have to do, FS, on the RV, all you have to do is paint a cross, a little fish, call yourself fundamentalist, and you're fine. That's all you need to do here in America. The minute you are a fundamentalist,
just pretend you're a
foot washer
Baptist.
Shit, that works too. You're fucking Southern for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's bullshit. No, I wanted to make a point real quick. That part of the reason I have this, so it goes back to wealth is not a valid measure of somebody's worth as a person. But part of the reason they've got us so locked down is the education system. We're not trained to fucking be independent of it. If you go back to like pre-industrial era, not even during the pre-industrial, during the industrial era and post-industrial era, people knew how to sew, people knew how to cook, people knew how to do things on their fucking own. You can't find that as well anymore. The people that do, they don't fucking spend money in the shops because they don't need to. Then you go down into the poverty-ridden areas and you find fucking fast food restaurants everywhere.
And Walmart. Let's not forget Walmart.
Walmart. That
it's
hires
Walmart.
All the poverty-stricken people.
Walmart is a life necessity. No, I mean, actually, all those same things you're mentioning with it, you know, hunting, all that stuff, that's pretty much what I've adopted as, like, my philosophical cornerstone almost, or, you know, my praxis is that I need to learn those things now so that I can actually be self-sufficient and free of the system, you know, and that, yeah, that's become my whole thing now. So, yeah, I'm becoming an insane, you know, sewing person that, you know, doesn't buy clothes and stuff because it can be done. It's just a lot more difficult.
Yes, but that's it. Nobody's willing to take that extra step the difficult way. They'd be prideful of what they've done, to be proud of their accomplishments, to be proud of that I can do this, that I fucking did that. See that thing? I fucking made it. Nobody wants to do that anymore. And when it's so much easier to go out and pay a corporation, that's hiring kids in a sweatshop in some third world shithole to make your shit for you. Nobody wants the option to do it themselves, but the option of doing it yourself does exist, and that's part of the issue, is not as many people are exploiting it. But I think we're about to see a turn in that.
But, Pop Man, the reason why nobody wants that is because we have become so conditioned mentally and psychologically to go for the easy option.
Why do it yourself? Like somebody else can do it quicker and cheaper.
Well, it's like if you ask the average American to list their needs, right? That's a really long list when it really only consists of three things: food, water, and shelter. I didn't blog on this, honestly. But yeah, you know, like we've really lost touch with like the base of, you know, you should be able to procure those things for yourself if you have to, you know, and if you can't, you're dependent on the system because the system is providing your food, water, and shelter ultimately.
And that's the way they want it. That's the way it's been designed to be. And that's the way it's been designed to be and has been developed to be for the past who the fuck knows how long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well like, you know, if you think back to, like, you know, when America first seceded, for example, I mean, yeah, you know, we were, you know, there was the trading was starting and the, you know, our little economy was starting to become what it was. But, I mean, people still were, you know, growing their own food, making their own clothes, making their own wealth. I mean, you know, building their own houses, you know. They knew how to functionally care for themselves without a system.
You know what? I was never raised anything. I've had a gross disgust of our education system since I was really small. And I've watched my parents. My mom knows how to sew. They both know how to cook. Every modification we've done to our house, me and my dad have done. Everything. We've remodeled every single room. We rebuilt the backyard. We've done that like twice. We've done it ourselves, and it all looks awesome. The shit, you can do it yourself. You can.
Yeah.
And you can look at it and know that you did it. And you can be proud of that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm a big pride thing.
It is.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a source of pride. I mean, you know, like you sew your first dress for your daughter and you're like, I made that. No, I actually made that. Yeah, I stuck that with that. I made a matrix jumper. And I'm like over the moon. It's like the coolest ever. I made that, you know. Yeah.
Nobody else is going to have one like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
else is going to have one like it. And you didn't pay $300 at the fucking store for it.
Yeah.
For some Chinese dude getting paid a nickel for every dollar to make it.
Isn't inflation beautiful?
Yep. Inflation is fucked up. I don't know, as much as I joke about inflation, they say that Avatar is the largest grossing movie of all time. Adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind beats it like 10 times as much.
Well,
I love inflation. It's fun. Mathematics. Yay! Yeah.
The thing that I'm personally excited about is that my kids are actually interested in this stuff. Like, my daughters want to do it too, which means that they'll know how to sew, for example, which, you know, kind of starts ending this thing in a way, you know. If I can learn how to do it and I can teach them how to do it, you know, I've at least ended it for the 6 people in my household, you know, which is more than could function independently of the system before, you know.
You know what else, FF? By doing it yourself, you're creating your own culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Enough people doing it themselves will create their own culture. Here's the kick, and if you can't do it yourself, but you can do something else, find somebody who can do the thing you can't do and offer to do what you can that they can't. That's where money comes into play. I'm not entirely against money. You know, I made it clear,
I don't
give a shit about one person owning the wealth. I mean, it's a great means of transaction, but it's an end. It's not an end. It's a fucking means. And we've been trained for the past fucking few decades that it is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably blame that on the Jews.
I agree with you. And I think that, you know, certain things are worth more than other things are. You know, like, I would be pissed if I built a house for somebody and got a, you know, basket of carrots for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'd be like, what are you doing? At the same time, you know, parents have to start building a new culture for their children, and it's a, you know, it can be a scary thing, especially when, like, from my perspective, I realized pretty quickly, I don't have a lot of examples to fall on, you know, like, people that I knew or, you know, people in my family that were like that. Yeah, like, I have to, like, pretty much start from scratch and figure out how to do it sort of on my own, you know, and I've actually sort of grabbed that up. 1950s housewife and her skill set, and I've really been looking at it and going, you know, this is actually plausible, you know, and doable and workable.
I ain't gonna lie, a 1950s housewife, if you really think about it, was fucking skilled. Because how many suits did people own back then? They owned one suit and they wore that shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
How did that suit keep maintained? Yeah. Somebody kept it clean, and they didn't even have all the conveniences that we have. Food was there, food was cooked, and I bet food was damn good too. It wasn't some microwave shit that you got.
Hey, leave my microwave out of this.
Oh, yeah, you know, and they were making their daughter's clothes. They made their kid's birthday cake. You know, there's a wide variety of things that, you know, they were doing that, you know. And the issue today, really, too, I think that with the economy that we have, it's, you know, doing all those things really does mean that you have a full-time job. You can't work outside the home and do all that at the same time. It is impossible. There's not enough hours in the day. You know, I've done that varyingly, and then I quit work and I stay home, but I can't do the one and do the other. And, you know, the economy is set up now for two-income households, which is the other thing, is that women have to turn to convenience to supplement for the fact they have to work.
Yeah, they got to work to pay the bills. When you're both working all the time, nobody has time to make sure all the skills that keep a house running are there.
Yep.
You just
keep
spending
and,
money,
you know,
feeding
we're a few generations now into working mothers. You know, we're a couple generations in, you know, which means that, you know, like, my mother didn't know how to do any of that stuff. You see what I'm saying? So it sort of ended at her. I mean, like, you know, her mother did and her grandmother did, you know, and all those women did, but she didn't. You know, she didn't pay any attention.
I just want to point out, we got like 5 minutes left. We have a bunch of guests in the chat. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. But we had more. I think a couple left. They're not really down with, like, the anti-women's lib movement, but that was a joke. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. But we've had one caller with Jason. Now, I'd like to thank Jason for calling in and offering support. We're not going to extend this one because, oh, we just lost somebody. Oh, we lost. Oh,
Karen?
She's back. But, I think
yeah,
we just dropped
you.
All right. Well, we're not going to extend this one because I want to go down and meet my occupation in this city. I'm going
okay,
to say hi to a few of my friends. So we've got a few minutes left. Nobody's going to argue against us. Nobody wants to argue against me. Come on. And that's what the whole fucking point of this was. I wanted somebody to come on here and validate the statements.
Like, anybody can get a word in edgewise while you're fucking talking.
Exactly.
Because everybody here fucking agrees. And that's the messed up part. I want somebody who doesn't agree. I think I said that at the beginning of this. I want somebody here who doesn't agree. Because I think at this point, we've all been sitting here sharing stories and talking about how fucked up it is. And nobody from the other side has bothered coming on. So, guys, I have a mission for you. Go find somebody from the other side to come on.
I think it'll be hard pressed to get out, man. Most people I know are pretty much think just like myself, or you do, basically.
Hmm. Well, most of my friends are, too. A lot of Lexi's friends are.
Lexi's
friends, by the way.
Lexi runs very strange crowds, let's put it that way.
I do. I'm not going to
lie.
You're
not normal.
I'm not a stranger to many people. I can walk down the street and probably run across at least 5 or 6 people that I know.
Or all in friends,
though.
How fucking
hard
acquaintances are one thing. Acquaintances are one thing. Friends are a completely different matter, okay?
I have no idea what you said. I was typing.
Sorry. Yeah. It's okay. It's all good. Yep.
Oh, no. FF, quit dropping.
Hey.
Hey.
Am I back?
Yes.
Yes, you're back.
Okay. Cool.
We
I dropped for an hour.
2.5 minutes left.
Good show.
You know what? I'm sorry for running you over again, man. But Lexi pointed something out. This show... And last show has been mostly, like, me ranting and yelling. I don't know if that's exactly true. I'll go back and listen to it later. But I want you motherfuckers to rant and yell with me. Don't do it because I wanted you to. Do it because you want to. And don't do it because you want to because I told you you want to.
I was on a rant when the phone died. That's the best part.
That would explain why I went quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah,
fucking
so
rabbit's
like,
trying to
I was
trip
in
me.
The middle of a big rant, and the phone just cut right off, which killed my rant in the middle of it.
Man. So.
Don't you go on
wants,
another one of your
standards. No, I'm just like, I even put this on my Facebook, because I wanted somebody to come on and try to justify some of the statements I've been hearing. And it hasn't happened. And Jason came on. Oh, I just got a little voice in my ear that says 90 seconds. I don't remember that from last time. I think my phone had died.
Yeah, actually it did.
Actually, we
died
all got
about,
dropped
yeah.
last time.
I think that we already extended the show at this point. It's what happened last time.
Yeah, well, right, it was 2 hours long, so.
Yeah, we extended, and then a pup dropped off around the last 30 minutes, and it was me and you two lovely ladies.
Yeah. So, is Occupied the new name?
Yes.
I think it's because we extended the show, like, an extra hour and a half.
It was a damn good
epic.
Show, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
right.
Back.
Right. Yeah, listen to me. I want to bring up something you guys real quick.
No, you got to make it quick.
I was thinking about getting one of the representatives from the Church of Body Modification to come on and talk about that. We want to be an alternative culture. We want to start alternative cultures. Let's explore the ones that are already out there.
Yeah.
Sounds
I like
good.
That idea, actually.
All right, coolio. Now that you've said that, next show is tomorrow, Saturday, in Traffic Momentum. Be there. Going to end the show. Otherwise, we're going to get cut off. Thanks for coming in. Jason, thanks for calling. And, see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jay.